Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, thank you for the privilege of your time. It's an honor that you would give me 30 minutes approximately of your life and time to tune in to some thoughts from this this pastor, this bishop, this man of faith, this man of love. I am Randy Dean, No BS Bishop. My highest value in life is to live for love, alive to love. All other values can become potential BS. So let's move toward authenticity in this. Let's move toward something that is more genuinely, more specifically, more vulnerably honest to goodness, alive, loving. So that's where I take all of these broadcasts. I take them into the depth, the height, the width, and the root system of love. I read in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 about how there is a height, there is a depth, there is a width to love that it's going to take your whole life, maybe even eternity, to discover all of the purposes, all of the nuances of what love looks like. So that's where I'm going to go today. In specific, I want to try to help all of my listeners understand that when I talk about love, I'm not saying, okay, this is one of the important things we do while we try to get other things in line to do them after we love. No, not at all. I am really suggesting that everything, all matters of life, all matters of faith, all matters of spirituality, all matters of being a person of just to be a person of value for the world around you, to the people you live with, the family, the neighbors, the community. If we're going to be people of that stature, then love must be what we are, not what we do on occasion. So let me read a statement to you from M. Scott Peck. He's the author of The Road Less Traveled, a phenomenal old classic, a powerful classic book about life and authentic spirituality. And here's what M. Scott Peck said one time. Love is a permanently enlarging experience. Love is a permanently enlarging experience, which is to say that once you dive into love as the one way of doing life, you will find out that it will forever enlarge your vision, your thinking, your relationships, your purposes, your dreams. If you ever once make that singular plug into love, then love will carry you toward other matters in total. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to love and then I'm going to do other things. No. I'm going to love and all other things will flow into and out of love. My own personal statement of reference to this is that love is an attitude and it's a singular way of doing life. Love is an attitude. That simply means that it's a choice I've made to have a lean toward love at all times. I will always lean toward love. I will not ask myself, well, I wonder if I should love at this point. No, every question that is asked of me will be answered by love on some level. Love is an attitude. And it's a singular way of doing life. It is to say, for me, it's just that laser-like focus. I try to say this routinely when I hear myself say that. And by the way, I have headphones on, so I really do hear myself say this. I don't want anybody to be confused at all that I think I've got this down. No. I do not have that kind of elevated view of myself. I am trying. I am leaning. I like to say, if you'll lean hard into something, eventually gravity will take over and you'll fall into it. I'm leaning toward this matter of love with every day of my life. And some days I do it well, and some days I don't do it well. But in all days, I am leaning hard on the matter of love, so that love is my value system. It's that I am alive to love. That my subtitle of this broadcast is not just, I'm not trying to just be catchy. It is who I am, who I want to be, who I long to be, and how I seek to live out life. So today, I want to visit with you about that. Love is an attitude and a singular way of doing life. It means that we need to be committed to living a life of love that will gain credibility, and then have, through that credibility, that persons of relationship to us on some level, great or small, they will find our life a trustworthy life, a life that they feel that they can trust, not because we've been perfect, but because we are loving, and love is perfect. Do you see the difference? I may not be perfect, but if I practice love, love is perfect in and of itself. So when I live that kind of life of love, it will gain credibility from others around me. And then out of that credibility, I may be invited to give an opinion. I may be invited to give a thought. They may need even my potential confrontation in life. Now that's an important matter. Because sometimes I hear people say, well, we can't just love. We have to tell people the truth in love, which is a dichotomy in how it's presented, meaning, okay, I'm going to love you, and then I get to tell you the truth. No. Love offers your life in a way that becomes credible, trustworthy, so that truth is invited by people that are around you, who are around you, so that you're not just loving as a ticket to gain a confrontation. that's even silly. As I say it out loud, I think, really? I hope we're not thinking like that at all. Love is the basis for which I may gain the invitation from somebody that would possibly include confrontation. So love does include being a person of a confrontational heart and thought. Now, let's look at that for a moment. If I love and people invite my opinion, I may have been given an opportunity to be confrontive. But in my confrontation, I'm not going to turn off the love switch and go into confrontation. In fact, if anything, I'm going to turn the love switch all the way to maximum, if there is such a thing. I'm going to turn the volume up to 10. I'm not going to assume that, oh yeah, now I've got a chance to tell you the truth. I've been waiting to tell you for how long? I can't tell you. It's been years since I've been waiting to do this. I'm going to turn that love thing down a little bit here so I can confront you. That's ridiculous. What I gain in love, I will have to sustain in love. And even if I'm asked, remember that, I'm asked for an opinion, well then my possible confrontation is based upon a desire to increase the love connection, not decrease. I'm always seeking to increase my love connection, not to decrease. A confrontation, a correction offered in love will bring life, it will bring security, and it will erase insecurity. Let me say that again. A confrontation offered in love will increase security and not decrease security. So if we could just take that for a moment and think about it. So if my confrontation seems to increase insecurity, maybe I should back up and look myself in the mirror and say, wait a minute, are we doing this well? Are we doing this in a manner that's offering love in the confrontation? And you know, you may have to self-correct along the way. You may have to self-confront. I don't want to hear anybody confront me who hasn't lived a life of their own love and their own self-love where they can correct themselves. Because if you can't correct yourself, I got no desire for you to come into my life correcting me. That's how everybody thinks. I think on some level, whether we consciously or subconsciously think it, we don't want somebody in our lives correcting us who hasn't had a good, solid, healthy lifestyle of self-correction. So if in my confrontation I can sense insecurity, well, it's time to back it up. it's time to say, hang on a second, I'm not communicating well. Please forgive me. Let me go at this better. Let me go at this in a more loving way, because I don't want this to turn into something that leaves you feeling insecure. I want this conversation to be a place where you can go on and feel the security of our relationship. You see, when I'm living a life of love, like M. Scott Peck said, it is a permanently enlarging experience. And that means I'm enlarging myself. I'm not seeking to get everybody else fixed. I'm seeking to be as well, to be as whole, to be as happy as I know how to be in my lifestyle. And out of that, I will find the possibility of some credibility of being asked and invited to offer my advice. An old adage, a more simple way of saying it, is unwanted advice is just not going to succeed. Uninvited advice. I don't believe that we were put on this earth to make sure that everybody else gets my 2 cents. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I would suggest you better be careful with that piece of mind. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. And I do mean that in the dual meaning of it. You're going to need that peace of mind. Don't be giving it away. It may be your, as we like to say, I'm going to give you my 2 cents. You better hang on to those 2 cents and maybe invest it so that it grows to something more valuable. We're in our life of the digital social media environment that we live in, I think we've kind of gotten an idea that anything I say, everybody else deserves. That anything I think, everybody else deserves. And I think we need to step away from that kind of precipice and seriously examine what I say and why I say it. Now, I will admit to you, I am a social media junkie. It started back, almost 10 years ago when I wrote a book. It's called Radiance, and I got it published through a publishing house, which I really treasure that, because that's a tough process. And my publisher told me back then, they said, you know, there's a new thing out these days called Facebook. And Facebook is a free way to get people connected to your book. So I started making friends on Facebook with very little knowledge of what I was doing, except I wanted people to know about my new book, Radiance. Well, as time went on, I began to enjoy the interaction that I found myself with on Facebook, a social media site. And I quickly gained a lot of friends. I quickly gained a lot of reconnections, people from my high school, even grade school years, people from college experience, and folks that I've met over the years as a pastor. My wife and I have pastored in multiple locations geographically. Before I was married, I pastored a short time in Ohio, and then after we were married, we pastored in Texas and a variety of locations, and then moved up here to Wisconsin 32 years ago. My point is that Facebook and social media has become the town square of our day. It's the place where people gather to have a visit. But in that town square, we're losing some human connection. I'm stuck on social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or other means. I'm stuck there because I enjoy the interaction, not all of it. But the same is true for human relationships. I enjoy human relationships. Not all of them, but I do enjoy having some communication with various people of all kinds of backgrounds. All that to be said, in our social media world, it seems that we've missed an old adage that we need to recall. Because whether it's on social media or in a party or a family reunion or wherever it is you go, unwelcome, uninvited advice is not healthy. When we start offering advice without having been genuinely welcomed, well, then something sets up in that process that's not pleasant. It's not good for either party. So how do I gain that invitation? Maybe I do have some valuable advice. Maybe I have some good old sage thoughts as an older person. Oh, okay. Well, then love is the ticket that gives you the opportunity for that door to be opened so that that person may find in you a wellspring of advice that they want. So remember that. Remember that in your sage advice, whether it's true or not. Remember, your advice isn't always what everybody needs all the time. And remember that welcomed advice is the best advice and does the best good. And the way to get that welcome is through love. So love is that attitude. This is how I started today. Love is an attitude. It's a singular way of doing life. So if I am increasing in love, I may gain an opportunity to confront somebody, but I have to remember in that confrontation, I have to evaluate, is this invited? Have I been welcomed to offer this confrontation? So that's one part of what I want to unpack for you today, talk about and discuss, because it is this ever-increasing, ever-enlarging experience of love that will take you into a wide variety of paths. Here's another part. I'm going to turn the corner a little bit here. And as I said earlier that love is an attitude, it's a singular way of doing life, then picture it this way. I don't love, however, in the sentence structure there, hear that. I love you, however. You know, once you say the word however or I love you, but as soon as that's said, my alarms go off. There's something going to shift here that I don't think either one of us want to happen. Love needs to be this. Love needs to see it this way. Love needs to be the floor you're standing on. Love needs to be the bridge you cross. And love needs to be the connection for continually having the possibility or potential of speaking into the needs of others. Let me say that again. See love as the floor you stand on. It's not, you know, look around you right now. Is there a floor under your feet? Maybe you're outside listening to this. Maybe you're outside taking a jog or a walk and you're hearing this on your device. Well, then love is that ground you're standing on. Love is that floor you're walking on. Don't see love as optional equipment, because love is the place you stand. So from there you stand. And then as you stand and you amble along, then see love as the bridge. Now if I'm at a river crossing, my first inclination is to not jump in the water and swim across a raging current. My first inclination is to ask, where's the bridge? How do I get to the other side in the least dangerous manner? So not only is love my floor or the ground I stand on, love is a bridge. It's the way of traversing potential hazards. When I love, I'm building something that goes over the top of the waves and the current and that which might sweep me under and drown us both. So I'm standing on love. I'm walking across the bridge of love. And love is also the connection for any possibility of having a deeper, more meaningful relationship with others. So remember, what I'm trying to say is this. Love isn't where we start so we can go do other things. No. Love is where I stand. Love is where I walk. And love is where I connect. Love is the fuel for everything else that I seek to manage in this world. So it's as I said, love is a singular way of doing life. When I'm, you know, I love my wife. I love her dearly. We've been together since 1974. Yes, folks, we've been together longer than many of you have been alive. And since 1974, I have discovered so many reasons why I shouldn't love her, and every one of them have been invalid propositions. Who said it? It just came to my mind. Somebody said, we always marry the wrong person, every one of us. That may be a bit of a cynical statement, but it is an interesting way of looking at it. It isn't so much that my wife has always done everything exactly the way I want her to do it, but it is that I love her for who she is, how she does her life, and the unique nuances of her, her voice, her manner of looking at me, her manner of doing the things she does in life. Rather than finding reasons to separate from her for these 45 years, these 46 years going on. I know she's listening now, doing the math for me. Let me put it this way. Coming up on 50 years. There you go, Ginger. I have found there are 10,000 more ways to love my wife than there is any manner of looking for a reason not to love. So for our relationship, we have both, and she does this. She does this well. My wife loves well because she looks into my heart. She looks beyond my my idiosyncrasies and my surface reactions, and she knows that this is going to be a life that is built by love. So that's how we've managed life, not by being people who've never fought. I will tell you, she and I know how to fight because we love each other, not because we don't love each other. And we know how to have a conversation that can be confronting because we know at the end of the confrontation, love started this conversation, love will end this conversation, and love will sustain us through the conversation. So that's your marital advice to anybody that may be interested in listening. But beyond marriage, when it comes to doing when I have a job, whatever the job might be. Martin Luther King Jr. said one time, if you're a street sweeper, it ought to be said of you, it should and could be said of you, that was the most loving and magnificent street sweeper who ever swept a street. That they swept that street with such love, with such a passion, that no street has ever been groomed such as that street was groomed by that street sweeper. Isn't that beautiful? To me, that's poetic, and it's prophetic. It carries with it the weight of how to do life. That's this whole broadcast is about today. Love is an attitude and a singular way of doing life. I don't love and then finish that project and then move on to advice and confrontation and whatever else it is I want to do. No, I love throughout every layer and every level of what my living is about. And if I'm doing a job, may love be the value I carry for what I do. It has been said, if you'll do what you love, money will come your way. I agree with that, and yet I also have the human experience that says sometimes my love isn't paying the bills like I'd like for love to pay the bills. Can I just be honest? I will tell you that sometimes I can love and love and love, and it doesn't seem like all my love is getting the bills paid. But does that mean, okay, I'm going to stop loving now and move on to something more important? What would that even be? What would that even look like? I believe that, yes, if you do what you love, you will be supported and sustained in life, in the general and greater picture of life. So when you love what you do, it will at some place love you back. It doesn't mean every day is perfect. It doesn't even mean that some days you'll wish you did something else. But in general, in total, if you love what you do, it will love you back. So it's also about the beyond relationships. Love is also about the things we put our hands to and loving that. I said a few weeks ago that love grants a value to even inanimate objects that would not otherwise be there. So if some of you parents are old enough to remember this, some of you people are old enough to have had one of these little sock monkeys. A sock monkey. A sock monkey is kind of an ugly little conglomeration of socks and stuffing. And, I had one that was given to me by an aunt. And I had a sock monkey that was dirty and it had been in a few too many sandboxes and one too many puddles. And it had been embraced by me over some crying nights a few many times. So my little sock monkey was showing some signs of wear and tear. But I will tell you this, that sock monkey at times in my childhood meant the world to me. And you know why? It wasn't because the sock monkey used to kiss me on the cheek and say, oh, Randy, you're great, and I'll be here for you at all times. No. That sock monkey had value because I gave it value through my love. Even an inanimate object can have value because love was placed upon it. That's the attitude of love. The attitude of love sees that anything can increase in its priority if I love that thing, if I love that person, especially that. So that love becomes an attitude and a singular way of doing life. It then connects me to my wide world, to people, to places, to things, and especially to people that are closest to me. Love is the fuel. It's the floor, it's the bridge, and it's the connection. It's the fuel for living life. All right, well, I'm coming to the end of today's broadcast. I've covered a lot of territory. I'm trying my level best to give you as much of the wisdom that has been given to me. I claim no singular creation of this wisdom. I am the accumulation of the wisdom of dozens of teachers and leaders and mentors over my life. I am so blessed. I'm so grateful for all the people who've invested in me. And I want to make sure that I'm investing in others the best way I know how. And I know that if my advice is going to be received, it must be received because I have loved well. So in these last minutes, do it again with me, would you? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. A good cleansing inhale.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.